Hello, my name is Will Riley. I head up marketing at VisitPay. I will be your host for today's podcast, and I'm very happy to have with me Michael Rodan from St. Luke's Health System here in Boise, Idaho. Michael, would you say hello, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about St. Luke's?
Sure. So thanks for having me. As Will mentioned, my name is Michael Rodan, and I'm the Senior Director over Patient Financial Experience and our SBO, or the patient responsibility side of the hospital. St. Luke's, a little bit about St. Luke's, we're the largest healthcare system in the state of Idaho. We employ roughly 14,000 employees. We're roughly a $5 billion gross organization. So that gives you a little bit of size and scope for St. Luke's out here in the West.
And I think Michael proudly named a top 15 IBM Watson health system again last week. I noticed that. Congratulations.
Right. Yeah, thank you. It's St. Luke's does earn quite a few awards on the clinical side. We're very proud of that. We do serve quite a few populations in this state that a lot of other hospitals don't. And so we're pretty proud of any type of awards that we do receive.
Yeah, fantastic. So we're going to talk about today about a bit about payment flexibility and the journey that St. Luke's has been on around working with patients in a really productive way to earn loyalty as patients manage some of these bigger bills, right, that the patients have been experiencing over the last 10 years or so. I think one of the things we like to think about is the sense that the financial experience is not just a transaction, right, but it's something that's ongoing. So could you talk a little bit about what the idea of a patient financial journey means to you, and how have you thought about that at St. Luke's?
Sure, it's a great question. Just like healthcare itself is not something that happens in a transaction. We go through different stages in our lives. Different things happen to us. We want things to done on the clinical side, and we feel as though that fixing the financial experience at the transaction level isn't the right approach. We do want patients for, really for life as much as we can have them. We think that their clinical care and outcomes are better because of it, because of that relationship. And we also think that the financial journey is similar, meaning we don't think it's a transaction. We set up our designs and our processes in a way that takes into account that the patient in terms of their overall journey, and we hope that it's for a longer term. And the other aspect is, the technology and processes that we have today may not be the ones that we have tomorrow. If you think back 20 odd years ago, who would have thought that you could manage your healthcare bills in one platform? Technology has evolved to the place where we can do that, and we can do that in a seamless way. So we do think of it as a journey. We're not quite sure exactly where the patient's going to be. And I'm not quite sure where the environment's going to be in the next few years, but we're going to evolve along with it.
And Michael, I think you really have been a pioneer in thinking in this way. When did you sort of start looking at this financial journey or financial experience as just more than a transaction? Because you've been on this path for some time, I think.
We have. I came over from other larger non-healthcare organizations such as Capital One or Hewlett Packard. And one of the key metrics that we always would look at is some kind of net promoter score, some kind of evaluation of your product, your service. And that's one of the key things that would drive us forward in terms of our priorities and what was important. When I joined Luke's here now, a little more than 8 years ago, that was one of my first questions was, how are our customers or patients scoring us? What do they think about us? And particularly on the financial side. And the answer was, we don't measure it. It's not something that we do. And so we decided a little more than 6 years ago to begin to start this journey. We call it the patient financial experience. And we believe that this experience is a competitive advantage. First, it helps us in terms of drive our business. Second, it helps the patients kind of where a lot of that pain is experienced, not clinical pain, but financial pain. A lot of these services that patients get have to have done are not planned for. There's a lot of life events that can happen. And, you know, we need to be flexible around kind of what the needs of the patient are. And, you know, we believe that that full experience is important to the overall long-term relationship with that patient.
Yeah. And so just that's great. And digging into that long-term relationship with the patient, you know, we talked at the start about the Watson Health accolade and its recognition of St. Luke's leadership in clinical outcomes. But we know that the patient financial experience matters too, right? And so what role do you think the financial experience plays in overall loyalty to St. Luke's and the health system?
Yeah, it's, you know, we believe that it can be a competitive advantage. You know, patients want the best care, you know, kind of at the best overall cost to them. And that aligns well with the St. Luke's vision as well. You know, the St. Luke's vision is better care at lower cost. And so, you know, I think, you know, based on those accolades and the awards and sort of where we are in rankings, we do a great job on the clinical side. Financially, I would say we've been behind. And over the last few years, we have really sort of, we have caught up. And I would argue, I think St. Luke's does a really good job at framing up this financial experience journey, measuring it and, you know, aligning priorities and tools like VisitPay to drive that experience. And we know that driving that experience has other longer term implications, such as a relationship with the clinician. You know, we want that experience to end on a very positive note. You know, yes, of course, clinical care outcomes are important, but we want that patient to pay their last payment. And then, you know, think about St. Luke's in a way that God, I would like to come back. And we think that that is happening today.
Awesome. So let's dig in a little bit to how you do that and how that happens. And I think the word that comes to mind for me is flexibility, right? How do you work with patients in a way that's flexible? We at VisitPay have done research over the last few years. And for example, in some of our last research, when we did a study of many thousands of US healthcare patients, we found that 58% of people responding to our survey said they would postpone care because they were worried about the cost, right? And that all brings us to being able to offer terms to patients that recognize their situation. And like I said, I think the word is flexibility. So what do you think patients need, Michael, when it comes to financial flexibility?
They need a lot. We don't treat every patient the same clinically. And I think historically, healthcare billing and healthcare finance, that's exactly what they want patients to be. They want patients to be homogenous. And they want patients to have the same needs and wants. And so they have a particular tool or a particular process that helps service all of those patients. The reality is we have to begin to meet patients where they are with the circumstances they bring. And we don't know from day to day what clinical thing is going to happen to a lot of patients. We see a lot in the emergency room. We see a lot in specialty services. And those are the unknowns. And we have quite a few knowns of patients that need care. But generally speaking, how we're going to treat them, we don't know on the clinical side. And so I think that the plan for us has been and will continue to be this, you know, this form of flexibility. We need to be flexible to meet every patient's needs in a way that's scalable. And so how do you create unique solutions for those situations in a way that's scalable? And so, you know, through the VisitPay portal, we allow a lot of our patients to self-serve. And so they really come in and they tell us within parameters, you know, how much they can pay each month. If they can pay off their obligation, we would love that. But it's not a requirement. And patients can opt into repayment schedules up to 3 years. And so, you know, we think that this combination of allowing patients to manage their obligations in a self-service way gives them a lot of latitude to sort of meet their own individual needs.
Yes, and I think from our data, St. Luke's is a fantastic example of that. I mean, we have what I think well over 100,000 St. Luke's patients now fully self-serving their medical bills in visit pay at St. Luke's. But the thing that stands out to us is that of all of our clients, you, Michael, routinely score the highest net promoter scores for your finance plan. So tell us a little bit more about finance plans and why are they so important? Why are they good for both the patient and why are they good for you too?
Sure. And, you know, for being good for the patient, so being good is all relative. And, you know, each patient is a little bit different depending upon where they are. The region here in the Northwest, I would say, you know, we're certainly more rural than most. You know, this reflects in kind of our education level and income levels. And so, you know, if the average Idahoan has between $600 and $800 in their bank account, a clinical event that happens to them in most cases, you know, brings in an obligation that's much more than that. And so how do we begin to, construct mechanisms and tools and processes to meet the needs of those who have funds and those who don't? And I think it is that flexibility that helps us get to the place where we have a very strong net promoter score. You know, I think, you know, we're in the 52 to 54 range in terms of net promoter score pretty consistently. You know, this starts to sniff the heels of brands like Apple and Target. And yet, you know, we're talking about healthcare finance, which based on other information that we've had and other data that we've had, usually is kind of in the teens in terms of net promoter score, you know, right next to probably pawn shops and insurance companies. And so usually we're in that category, but because we are flexible, you know, the product is designed to, the VisitPay product is designed to meet those patient needs. It's easy to opt in. You know, patients understand that healthcare finance is complicated, but the tool and the rules that we've developed around the tool have made it as simple as possible. So patients can log in, they can see what they owe, they can look at their EOBs. And they can make an informed choice. And I think really that's what patients are looking for is just flexibility and being informed before they have to make that decision. So, you know, the other piece that St. Luke's does do that's a little bit controversial is around the interest side. We have a very high net promoter score. We're typically in the top ranks of the VisitPay client base. And yet we do offer interest-bearing plans. And so, you know, our philosophy is that, you know, it takes us money to sort of lend to these patients in forms of services. And really what we're doing is we're recapturing that cost. And so the patients that need it are the ones that are supporting it versus a more peanut butter approach. If we didn't apply an interest rate to these finance plans, we'd have to spread that cost across the rest of the population. And so what we've decided to do is target those who need it and want it are going to pay for that type of flexibility. And the ones that don't won't have that cost. It's a choice between do you leverage the entire population and peanut butter a cost across it, or, you know, do you charge the ones that want that, want and need that flexibility? And so we've decided on the latter of the two. And we've decided on the rates that are effectively just covering our cost of capital.
Yeah, I mean, I think you charge interest at low single digit rates, right? And I think compared with credit cards, which is probably the ready alternative for many people, there's a vast difference. Our research shows that of people that use credit cards to pay medical bills, which of course many people do, I think 3/4 of people in our last survey who were using a credit card to pay for a medical bill maintained a balance for multiple months. So mm-hmm. You're likely looking at a minimum of mid-teen interest rates there. So it makes sense, Michael. And I no wonder it's such a satisfier.
Yep.
What other policies have you had, and how perhaps you could touch on how COVID impacted your thoughts around financial policy, right? Because that was such a sudden dislocation economically, completely unexpected, and put a lot of people all of a sudden into a very difficult situation. How did you respond?
Yeah, COVID was and still continues to be a challenge. Even though vaccinations are up and COVID cases are down, the hospital system itself is still reeling from how much do we charge for these things and not this thing, and how are insurance paying? And so we're still sort of reeling from that in terms of decisions, and then that flows down to the patient. But what we decided to do was, we went, and this term is flexible. We went from, a lot of flexibility to complete flexibility during this COVID time. And so we reached out to patients pretty early on, and we told patients, look, we're here for you. We're all in this together. Hopefully there will be some type of vaccination or some kind of solution in the future. But we're not concerned about these obligations right now. And, let us kind of help you through this. And so we went to our visit pay partners and said, we want all the flexibility you can give. And so the product team was great in terms of developing solutions like payment holidays. So, if a patient suddenly became unemployed, they could opt into and self-service into a payment holiday. And then that pushed out any kind of payment a number of months. And they could do that a number of different times so that their accounts would remain current. They had intentions to eventually pay once they came back into being employed or some kind of stimulus money. And so we halted, so we gave payment holidays, and we halted any kind of movement towards bad debt. And so, patients were sort of held and suspended, suspended animation for a little while. Until sort of our lives could come back together. And so again, our visit pay partners were very supportive in the changes that we want to make and decisions, but we wanted to give the maximum amount of flexibility to patients in an unprecedented time. None of us really knew sort of what was going to happen. The world at some point felt like it was going to end to some extent, and now the sun is coming up a little bit more, and I think we're a little more optimistic. But for a while, we wanted complete and utter flexibility, and that's what we got.
Yes, and it sounds like really your belief was if you can give folks more flexibility, but keep them engaged, keep them on finance plans, for example, mm-hmm. is going to be a good thing, right? I think that's really what you're saying, and tell us a little bit about that, because we've talked about finance plans, we've talked about policy, we've talked about flexibility, but how effective are your finance plans? Are they driving down debt? Do people stick with them? Like, what do you see?
We see good results from these plans. We do believe that engaging with the patient as often as possible, giving them that flexibility. And letting them drive those decisions. One of our VPs has a very interesting story, and of course the hospital can't always provide every single service. So he needed a specialized service outside the organization, and he wanted to go onto a payment plan. And so because they didn't offer something in their tool, and they're not on VisitPay, he had to call up that specialty service and asked them, and he said, one of the major differences between sort of our tools and processes and my experience there was, he goes, I called him up and I felt like I was begging for a 3-year plan. And he goes, I felt bad afterwards. It didn't feel good. It wasn't a great experience. And, I wanted to have the option to do that and have the same experience as sort of VisitPay on the Luke side. And, that I think gives a good picture of sort of what the patient is seeking. They want and need some flexibility based on their situation. And because we are offering that type of flexibility, I think what happens is, you know, we move up in terms of share of wallet. So as that patient begins to pay back, they remember how flexible you are and how much of that service that they're appreciative of, both on the financial and clinical side. And so what we see are really good rates in terms of our repayment schedules. So our keep rates in terms of payment plans, you know, are in the mid to upper 90s. And so 95 is kind of our average keep rate on our finance plans. And I think almost any hospital in the US would take a 95% keep rate on their payment plans.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of reasons for it, but flexibility is definitely one of those keys.
That's outstanding. So, I mean, we can move towards a conclusion here, but what you're telling is a story of very high levels of patient satisfaction and loyalty to St. Luke's, coupled with very high levels of repayment when you're able to offer flexibility in a programmatic way, right? Is how I would conclude some of those points you've been making.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Stepping up now, Michael, you know, we talked a little bit about 2020 and it was a crazy, crazy year for all of us. What's your biggest takeaway from the crazy year that we've all had?
Oh boy. It was a crazy year. I think we're all going to kind of remember this for a long time. You know, part of me says it feels like humanity is getting closer and not further away from each other because of it. I feel like the relationships, you know, I just can't walk over to the, you know, visit pay offices anymore because we're all remote and see our colleagues kind of in person. And I think as we come out of that, I think that, you know, a lot of us are looking forward to that again. And I think, you know, the personal relationships that we've had either, you know, with our doctors or with our colleagues, I think we cherish those a lot more because of this. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to being done. You know, it'd be nice to travel and do all those kind of normal life activities, go see, you know, parents and grandparents and kind of come back to real life. So I am looking forward to that. But maybe, you know, if the glass is a little bit half full, maybe we don't take those relationships for granted like we used to.
Mm. Well said. Agree with that. I can't wait to get back on the plane to England at some point, hopefully soon. So that's, yeah. I'm with you on that one. And then just a little bit of fun, Michael. So if you were not pioneering enduring change in patient financial relationships at St. Luke's in Boise, what would you be doing?
Oh my gosh, this is a really tough question for me, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I think
astronaut or no? Come on.
This will sound very strange, but you know, I think I'd be a tour guide.
Tour guide.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I think you know I've been lucky enough to see all 8 wonders of the world, not just 7, but 8. Okay. And you know, I do enjoy kind of researching and going to those places, and I would love to take others with me.
Fantastic. What a brilliant answer. I love that.
Yeah.
So with that, Michael, thank you so much for your time. Yeah, thank you so much for your perspective. Thank you for touring us around St. Luke's approach to patient financial health. Hugely appreciate it. Thank you so much, Michael.
Very good. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.